at that time, there was a Sweetwater County School District was stuck in the snow, couldn't get here. If there was any, basically, we were on any other comments or any other public comment, and received some via email, those kind of things. But and then we're gonna, so is there anyone here would like to comment on the school CapCon bill where we're at? And just to anybody here. And I, okay, and I'm going to be pretty flexible with this as we work this. If somebody appears here later and wants to visit, we want to hear from them if they've traveled here. So we haven't taken a final vote on the bill, members, and we have some proposed amendments. And I think we left, just to recap, with major maintenance in the bill. And maybe you ought to walk us through the bill quickly. Major maintenance, operations, and about $17 million in CapCon. Go ahead, Tanya.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, major maintenance, just for clarification, that's in your Agency 27 general appropriations bill. Just walking through the bill quickly, the first page is pages 1, 2, and 3, and then move on to page 4 through line 12. Those are really just definitions and sort of guiding principles for the appropriations provided herein. It requires an estimated schedule, reporting, ensures that this is not an entitlement or a guarantee. Really, the substance of the bill begins on page 4, lines 14, and you'll notice on line 20 of that page, those are the design projects. Those projects are listed on page 5, lines 5 through 15, for a total of $4,982,000.
So these were all just, and you'll notice these are all asterisked on page 5. These are continuation of projects we've already funded, and this will complete that. Is that correct? Those first four, and then the Park Elementary 6 was a hunting vest grizzly bear issue.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay.
And you'll notice, just as you said, on page 5, lines 17 through 22, that just designates that the single asterisk means that it's a supplementary appropriation. And on to page 6, lines 1 through 9, that's also...
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to trace this back into the sheet that we had the other day.
Yeah.
And what number is Albany 1? Albany number 1. So this is out of, on page 5, line 12, and then back.
Moving on to page 6, line 11, capital construction appropriations, $10,494,694. The list of projects begins on page 6, line 23, beginning with Campbell High School for $3.8 million. This was also a previously appropriated project, and this is a supplementary appropriation for the construction of that project, as is page 7, lines 1 and 2. Those are also, you'll notice the single asterisk, and these are supplementary appropriations. You'll see on line 6, the Sweetwater Middle School, this operationalizes your motion to include an additional $200,000 for their capacity and configuration change. And there's additional guiding language, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but on the bottom of page 7, lines 13 through 19, again, this is just defining the single asterisk, noting that it's a supplementary appropriation to finish a phase. On to lines 21 through 23, and page 8, lines 1 through 6, again, this is a reporting requirement for any overage in the project. The school facilities department is required to come back and identify those amounts and come up with a process to reduce those types of issues in the future. As I mentioned, additional language guiding the Sweetwater County School District Number 2 issue can be found on page 8, lines 8 through 23. Moving on to page 9, lines 1 through 7. I'll just take a moment to note, in the 2014 budget for school facilities, you appropriated $6,698,790 for construction of an elementary school. It was the old Wilson Elementary School. This appropriation reappropriates those funds in addition to the $200,000 for purposes of the reconfiguration and remedies to address their capacity issues there in Sweetwater County. On line 18 and 19, you'll notice that the reconfiguration is required to be approved by the director of the school facilities department and the state superintendent. That's pursuant to statute. That's right. A statutory requirement currently.
Okay, and then, Tawny, just to back up one page, members, to page 7, looking at the projects again. So the single asterisk on line 1, 2, and then the modular leases that we talked about on lines 3, 4, 7, 8, and 9. And then the line 5 was the Carbon 1 Elementary School. There were two actual schools there. This was the least expensive. We tried to take one of those projects. There's another one out there. And then line 10 is the grizzly bear hunting vest issue. Okay, for better. Okay, the construction of that indoor space. Okay, thank you. Okay, I think we're on page 9.
Page 9, line 9.
Yeah, go ahead.
Through 14, appropriates $654,600 for land acquisitions for Laramie County High School and Washakie County School District Number 2. We typically don't identify an amount with those just to avoid any sort of bidding issue.
Okay. Just a quick thing. Is that the lease that we approve? Or is there's a land lease that we approve? Where is that coming up?
Mr. Chairman, that is within the $654,000 appropriation. $4,600 is for the lease with Laramie County School District Number 1. Washakie County can do the math to figure out the remaining balance.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
That assumes a lot.
Well. No, easy here now. Okay. Who had a question? Senator Burns, go ahead.
Going back to page 7, line 10, this is that thing with the bears. And this is for an indoor recreation area or activity area. I'm kind of curious why they couldn't, for a lot cheaper, just build a bear-proof fence around their playground.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I hear about four voices. So that's a question to who? Anybody who can answer it?
Yeah, anybody who can answer it.
Is there anybody here who wants to take that on? This is basically the design money for that, right? I wonder design? Or is that, no, that's CapCon of it. And it's a smaller space, about 6,000 square feet or something, as I recall. Okay. And nobody has an answer to that?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could it simply be that what we heard was that they don't have a gym, and so actually what this is so that they could build a gym. It's not
right.
Simply that they want to keep the bears out.
And, Mr. Chairman, that is a $62,000 appropriation. That they're two different schools. You can see the school number.
It's 330.
Oh, no, it's maybe the same school. One's design, one's CapCon.
Yeah, you're right, Bruce.
Yeah.
I'm wrong.
On page 5 is the design, yeah. $62,000. Then the construction's on line 10, page 7, $398,000. Okay, any further questions then on that? Okay. Where are we at now? We're on page...
Page 9, line 16, begins the appropriation of the unanticipated cost. This is the area where you instructed staff to identify the difference between the amount of the appropriations that you specified and the balance of the school capital construction account, and that amount is $859,174.
Okay. That's the leftover amount. Okay, thank you.
Page 10, lines 4 through 13, this operationalizes your motion to allow up to 10% of the amounts distributed for major maintenance to be expended on school safety and security needs of the district.
Okay.
Page 10, line 15, this section creates the task force to study public school capital construction and operations, including funding options available. As directed, page 10, line 22, an additional member was added to this provision As the chairman or the vice chairman of the Select Committee on School Facilities, the same change was made on page 11, line 8, and you'll see the corresponding language on lines 13 and 14 as well. The seven members, the change that was directed in that provision can be found on page 12, lines 10 and 11. The representative from the University of Wyoming was eliminated, and an additional member was added to the Wyoming business community and mineral industry portion. Page 12, lines 18 through 23, and on to page 13, lines 1 through 3, just designate payment of the legislative and non-legislative members and direct in the event of a vacancy how that will be handled. Page 13, lines 5 through 7, direct that the chairman of the task force will be appointed by the president and the speaker of the House, respectively. Lines 9 through 17 provide that the Legislative Service Office will staff the task force, and the Legislative Service Office may retain consultants as necessary to staff and advise the task force as approved by Management Council. Page 13, lines 19 through 23, and really moving on through page 16, line 14, direct the items that the task force will study, including all expenses of school foundation program accounts, revenue-generating mechanisms for the school foundation program account, also likewise for the school capital construction account, and an extensive review of the rules and regulations governing the assessment of building condition and capacity with the school facilities department. Page 16, lines 16 and 17 provide that the task force will exist until December 31st of 2017. Page 16, line 19 through 22 and on to page 17, lines 1 and 2 provide that the task force will make recommendations to the legislature October 15th of this year, and again, not later than October 15th of 2017. It provides that based on the recommendations of the task force, the appropriate committee may consider development of legislation as a result of the study conducted herein. Page 17, lines 4 through 20, simply appropriate the funds for the operation of the task force and for reimbursement of any non-legislative members on the task force. Section 3 is your effective date. It provides that generally speaking, the bill is effective July 1st of 2016, with the exception of Section 2 and the task force obligations.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Greer.
I'm afraid it was a little late the other night. I maybe wasn't very articulate. I still question the number of legislators on the task force. And in particular, no offense given here, but why the chairs of appropriations? It's not their job to find money. It's their job to appropriate money. With responsibilities on the chairs of appropriations, I don't think they're appropriate on this, and I still think we should have more taxpayers on this. I'm looking at those representatives from, coal industry, Trona industry, oil and gas industry, and agriculture.
I think we'll have some amendments on that. And let's just talk about procedure now. Is there anything else, Tanya? Did you finish? I think you appreciate it. Okay, perfect. Now, let's just talk about procedure, and I want to ask where we're at. Now, we've made a motion on the bill. Do we need to make a motion on this bill, or it's a different version?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that you've made a motion on this bill. This is your first
iteration. So work this bill, then. Is there a motion on the bill? Moved by Mr. Co-Chair and seconded by Representative Nicholas. Okay. And I'm going to just ask again, I'm going to be very flexible with public comment as folks come. Is there anybody here who would like to comment on this bill? Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm going to close public comment for right now. And we're just going to work the bill. And we're just going to start on, okay, and I'm just going to move quickly. And then when you have amendments, members, you can jump in there. Let's go pages 1, 2, 3, which were all the definitions. Okay. And then page 4, we start at the bottom of the description of design projects, or to page 5, design projects. Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment on page 5, line 1, and you all have a copy of the amendment, goes through page 5. And this goes back to Sheridan District 2 on the alternative school. If you recall the list of the needs list that we went through on Saturday, and I realize how late it was, so your judgment may have been clouded in turning me down. And but the fact is, we have a combination of a capacity problem and a needs problem, in that where the alternative school was has no more room because the Sheridan Junior High has moved into that space. And so the building that they're in now was built in 1953, and on the needs list, it is a 0.5987, far and away at least 20% higher than the next worst school in the state. And so what I'm asking for in this amendment is $750,000 for planning of the alternative school, of the new alternative school, and we have 800, if I recall, $859,000 in unanticipated costs, so it wouldn't put us over budget at all. And with Mr. Chairman, I would like a favorable vote, please.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded now. And again, further discussion. Any questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Representative Conley.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And again, let me apologize for not making it over. But do I remember correctly that this is the alternative school that is also on the college campus? And is that what this amendment for is, for the construction of that particular arrangement?
Yes, okay. Mr. Chairman, this will be on the Sheridan College campus. The college has already donated the land. It would be within the utility grid of the college. That's why the expense of the school would and will be much cheaper than otherwise or for any other school. The other thing to keep in mind is that when this alternative school comes online, it's actually going to be serving 4 different school districts, Sheridan's 1, 2, and 3, and Johnson County also.
Okay. Is there any, Don, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify with the senator's description, there's a distinction between design and planning.
Right.
And this amendment was written for design.
This will also cover planning, according to the facility superintendent up in Sheridan. She's very capable, and I spoke to her this morning. She said that this would cover both.
And it's in the design phase, so it's where the amendment comes in. Okay, on page 5. Okay, any other questions? Senator Ross, or Mr. Co-Chair, and then Representative Conley.
Well, Senator Burns, just a question here, and I'll give you a chance to have your caucus. Question to you, Senator Burns, and have you had, I mean, I know that this came up late in the day on Saturday, have you had any feedback or any contact from the school facilities department, division, as to the their amenability to this?
Mr. Chairman, I don't mean to speak for Dale McComey.
I know he was here, and I saw him nodding his head a couple of times.
Right. No, he actually agreed with our assessment of the need, and according to as I mentioned on Saturday, there had been a misunderstanding in the department and on the part of the select committee over which building they were talking about. With that adjustment made, as far as the combining capacity and needs, according to Mr. McComey, it came in on the priority list right behind Teton.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Conley, sorry.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Senator Landon, Chairman of the Select School Facilities. Actually, I want to call on you and ask if you did have a conversation about this school. Because in general, in all honesty, to me, this is one of the most innovative ideas for 4 school districts to share an alternative school. It kind of meets a need, crosses boundaries, all of that. And so I'm curious about any conversation your committee had.
Senator Landon. You violated Thank you. The key rule. Never come to a meeting you're not necessarily invited to because you might be called on to speak.
You notice I got clear to the back over there. I was just
you
listening.
You couldn't quite hide back there.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks well, Mr. Chairman, here. Thank you. And Representative Conley, we were aware of this project, but as the good senator pointed out, we didn't have the information that we've been provided with now that we're here in Cheyenne. That's just come to light literally over the past 2 weeks. That we may have been looking at the wrong building, or we may not have had the correct information as to where that project might have landed in the list that helped to develop the bill that's in front of you. Yes, I agree with you. I do think it's innovative. I believe there's even talk that school, if it gets off the ground, that it might even be named after one of our former members here in the legislature. And so it's not. I can't speak for the entire committee, representative, but I think it is something that would be well received. It's just that we didn't have the information at the time that we met in the fall. Okay.
Senator Burns.
The chairman of the select committee is absolutely correct. The intention is to name it the John Schiffer Collaborative School.
Okay. Any other questions then on the amendment? Any further discussion? Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to speak in opposition to the amendment for a couple different reasons. And I think all of these issues could be addressed if it comes on as an amendment during the later on during the session. But to me, we don't have any idea whether the 750 is a realistic number and a high number or a low number or what it's predicated on. We simply don't know. We don't know exactly what information was or was not provided other than what the good senator has told us. Sitting here, you know, across from me in his seat. So we don't know the veracity of that information, how accurate it is. We don't know what the county, that the facilities issues are. And so to me, it's just premature to just jump in and do this just because of what you represent to us. And to me, we have to have more information from the school facilities folks. And if in fact it was the wrong building and whether or not these numbers are 750 are reasonably accurate. We just don't know those things. I'd also like to know more about if this is going to be a collaborative approach and if it's going to have students on the community college campus, how are we going to deal with funding and maintenance if there are college kids on there, and there's just a bunch of different issues in there that are just kind of all up in the air, and we're going to start designing and building before we know what's going on. So I just think it's a little bit premature out of the gate for me.
Okay, I would make a comment, too, and I think we've got a proposed amendment to make sure we go out and study this list and come up with a list around the $80 million range. I think every school in the state has been delayed at some point in planning. You ask any district. I know my district, it's like took 10 years to get these high school projects. And I think I think Representative Nicholas has a good point. I was sitting there thinking about this. Well, how does that affect the block grant model, which covers custodial and utilities? And if it's on Sheridan College, how does that work? And so there's a lot of questions. There's going to be some MOUs and contracts signed. And that's what we've always done before we go into these. So I think it's a worthy thing. I think it'll rise up the list. I think it'll get there. I think these things all kind of, we've got to march together. But I think part of the deal, so this is the worst school in the state condition. And again, it goes back to what we said the other night. What's the matter with this list? I don't have a lot of confidence in this list, and I think that's why we acted the way we did and went really with the ones that were already in progress, and then obviously modulars and land rental, those kind of things. So,
Mr. Chairman?
That's where I'm at. Okay, Senator Burns.
If I could answer the good both representatives' question about this. This needs rating was based on the 2012 inspections, and the reason that this school wasn't put on the list at all was because at the time they didn't move the alternative school back up there until the fall of 2014. So the building was empty at the time, so there was no point in having it on the list. It was like putting any other empty building on the list. That's not the case. So yes, it is the worst building by far in the state. And it is being used as a school. Not only that, it's being used by high school kids, and it was an elementary school that's 62 years old.
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr.
Chairman, a question for staff. This amendment and the following, and another amendment that follows, goes into the unanticipated funding. Can you refresh my recollection as to the amount that's in there? And do we have two competing amendments for the very same money?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that that's an accurate description. On page 9, lines 18 and 19, you'll note $859,179. That is the balance of the unanticipated funds.
Page what?
Page 9.
Page 9, line 19.
Lines 19.
Okay.
And, yes, this amendment and the next amendment.
So this amendment would leave $109,000 in unanticipated, and then the following amendment asked for $800,000 in charter school leases. Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment has failed. All those in favor, go ahead and sit. Okay. Okay. Any other amendments then on page 5? Any amendments on page 5, page 6? Any more amendments on page 6? Any amendments on page 8? That's what I said, 7. 6, 7, and 8. Okay, page 9.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move what we see as the Rothfuss Charter School Leasing Amendment.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I explain what it
is? Is there a
second?
Second. Okay, it's been seconded by Representative Senator Hastert.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, our charters, in all honesty, our charter school statutes are a bit of a mess, and we have never kind of fixed them. And so what we have are some standalone charter schools that have met every statutory requirement for their existence and their continuation. However, we didn't put into the statutes how to pay for their leases. And so every budget session since I have been here, there has been a budget amendment to pay for these leases. And that's exactly what this budget amendment does, is to pay for the leases until we fix the statutes. It's my understanding that there is a bill for this session that will fix the statutes from this point on, but we need this budget amendment to pay for the leases for two existing charter schools that are in operation and have met every statutory requirement. So I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator Wasberg.
Well, just a question on charter schools. I wasn't aware that the charter schools law was such a bad law since I wrote it. But apparently it is. At any rate.
Bazinga.
At any rate, my question is, how many charter schools do we have in the state? And how many charter leases are we paying? Because as I remember that, the money follows the student.
Exactly.
And if their money is sent there, then we're actually giving these two schools an advantage in funding by paying their leases instead of them using the money they receive per student cost.
Okay, and so I, Representative Conley, you understand. I just want to add to that then. How many are we doing this elsewhere in the state other than just Albany County?
Mr. Chairman, first let me apologize that the charter school statutes are completely a mess. It's honestly, they have been so successful that we now have long-standing charter schools, and there's a couple of little glitches. And one of the little glitches is regarding these lease payments. It's my understanding that we have four charter schools, and I'm sure Tanya and others could correct me if I'm wrong. Four charter schools, three are bricks and mortar. I could be making a mistake there. One is so long-standing that it no longer needs lease payments and that we are taking care of the funding of exactly following the model in a different kind of way. However, these two charter schools are within that kind of statutory 5 to 10 year period where they're getting their first renewal that we need to be paying their lease payments. It's not only in Albany County. It's my understanding that there is one here as well, so in Laramie County. In fact, the dollar figure for my county is a tiny proportion of this total amount. But that it would pay for two charter schools. And I would ask for Tanya or Matt if you could correct whatever I've done
Matt,
that's
why don't
wrong.
You, Matt, why don't you add to that, give us a little rundown on this $800,000.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Connolly is correct. There are four charter schools. One is in Fremont County 38. It's contained within their existing facilities. There are two in Albany County. One's in a facility that the state purchased a couple years ago. One is in a facility that they're leasing, and this is one of the charter schools we're discussing. And then there's a final one here in Laramie County that would qualify for the lease payment from the state.
So this $800,000 is for to lease for the biennium a building in Laramie and a building in Cheyenne.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Charter schools. And so the question then, what about those? How many kids are we talking?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the one in Albany County is around 54 students, and the one in Cheyenne is close to 200, but I could be wrong. I can get the
student counts. And those students, I mean, those students would direct school-level resources, wouldn't they, for maintenance and all those things, routine
Mr. Chairman.
Utilities?
Mr. Chairman, the block grant model generates the same resource for those schools as any other school. So they do generate routine maintenance resources.
Right, which would be on a lease. You wouldn't do major maintenance on something you don't own.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the statute requires that these facilities are, the square footage are reduced from their major maintenance calculation. The leases are supposed to provide for maintenance of those facilities, but that's part of the lease.
Does that sound like water? Or that Super Bowl commercial, the, what was that, the baby monkey, puppy baby monkey. Well, here we are in a temporary, not so temporary capital, and we get, I'm going to turn the mic off for just a minute.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, we're back to with a little bit of excitement. We're back to our mundane, normal self. Okay, and Senator Burns has a question.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just curious, and I don't know if the good senator or the House member or who has a say in this, but did the state have any say in this lease? If the state's paying the leases, did the state have any determining factor in how much it is? I've got a problem with this model of a third party paying for the lease. So where's the constraint on the part of the school district to try and negotiate the best terms possible on the lease? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Burns, I think that's a really good question, and hopefully that the bill that we're going to have before us is going to address that. That honestly, I do think that the districts should have some say in what these lease payments are, or what the initial lease is. But I don't know if that happened initially. And
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to know how much the leases are for. in for these two particular facilities, what the terms of the lease are and how long the leases have been in place and how it got paid last time. And if, in fact, it was from a amendment, how much was it for?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I can answer a portion of those questions. It was paid for previously through major maintenance funds. That was allocated in your 2014 school facilities appropriation. We'll have to check on the amount.
And that was through district major maintenance funds.
Exactly. Okay. A portion of district major maintenance funds could be utilized for payment of the charter school leases, and Matt may know for sure what that amount is. No. But with regard to these leases, the lease for Laramie County School District number one for the Potter Academy is approximately $300,000 a year. And my understanding is the remainder of the $800,000 request would go for the Albany County Charter School, a Montessori school.
So 600 goes to Albany County over the biennium?
600 would go to Laramie County School District number one for Podar Academy. It's a 29,000 square foot facility, 29,000 square feet. And I don't know the square footage of the facility in Laramie.
And, Mr. Chair, where is the facility? I'm trying to remember where it's at and what is it? What old building is it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the Potter Academy is located in what was the Triumph High School. At one time, my understanding is that it was owned by Laramie County School District number one. That building has since been sold and is now being occupied by this charter school. And perhaps Representative Connolly has additional information on the Albany County Charter School.
Okay, Representative Connolly.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. The Montessori School is in what was the Lincoln Community Center and it has a portion of that space and has been in operation now, I think, for about 4 to 5 years, is ready to go through the reauthorization. Very successful and, in fact, has added grades as time has gone on.
Mr. Chairman.
We're just going to take a little pause, and I think can we just move down to room 302?
Yeah, let's just do that.
Yeah, I think we're going to change rooms. This room now we got a little smoke issue, we think, and so we're going to continue our quest down 302. Down there really is the Taj Mahal. That's a nice room. So we're going to head down there. Okay.